As I was preparing for this morning, it didn't dawn on me that this question of identity would be so critical, and yet it is. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? If each one of us could be more like Jesus, that the world would be a better place. Have you ever said that to yourself? I have. Have you ever thought it? Have you ever looked at another human being and said, if you could be more like Jesus, the world would be a better place? Right back at you, right? So I would like with you today to go on a little exploration to kind of maybe sink this moment deep in our soul, that we search after identity on a regular daily basis. So I'm doing my best, Pastor Glenn. He always brings some props. And if you were over in the worship center today, he's bringing props. So, this is my identity recently. Did you know that?
Surprise.
Surprise. If you don't know what this is, you've not been around. It is a Philadelphia Eagle emblem, Super Bowl champion Eagle emblem. I don't know. This is another one for many of you in this room. If you're a White Sox fan, I apologize. But this is Pastor Glenn's, and he reminded me to tell you it has a little World Series championship emblem on it. And I think every Cubs fan hopes eternal it will happen again and again and again. They're not identity in being a Cubs fan now. This is one that has become identity for me, Team World Vision. Over the past couple years, running a marathon that I probably physically shouldn't be running, but doing it anyway for clean water for kids. Well, the question has to come, why do we put so much of our identity in things like this? There were like 2 to 3 million people at a parade in Philadelphia a couple weeks ago. And they waited, some of them had been there from the day before, early in the morning, most of them, like 4 in the morning, waiting for a float or a couple of buses holding a team that won a game to pass by so that they could wave at them and then go home. Identity. Where do we put our identity? I pulled these out, and you know, I don't know. This is a crest on this goblet. It's a Wenhold crest. I didn't even know I had one. It's kind of like a knight in shining armor and a little star on there. And this is the one that I hold a little bit more dear. It's a Morrison clan, and I like this crest because out of a castle in the midst of the water is this arm with a sword as if I'm some kind of warrior or something because my ancestors went before. I don't know. Why do we find our identity in so many crazy places? This week, one who is dear to the Good Shepherd community decided to get a tattoo. And it's one of many he's had. And if you have tattoos, they're usually something that you either get because it is a remembrance. His was a big heart with mom on it. And although that sounds kind of shallow, it's because his mother passed into God's kingdom and it was something that was important to him. I'm sure there are people who have gotten tattoos and they regret it the next morning. If that's you, I'm sorry. So here's a few stories about identity that I kind of raked out of culture. If you've been watching the Olympics, early in the Olympics, we won a silver medal in the luge. Did you see that happen? And Chris Madzer was the Olympian who won this medal. And when they tried to get him to say, deep in his heart, that was all about him, I took hope because what he said was, this all started 60 years ago. That's how long the luge has been a sport in the Olympics and how long the United States has been trying to get a medal and never medaled for 60 years. And so what he said, it's a team effort. And my medal is not just about me, but it's about other people. And then I watched, and maybe you did too, from the old Cape Canaveral down in Florida, Elon Musk and SpaceX shot up into space a rocket with a Tesla car. Did you get in touch with this craziness? I mean, he wanted to make sure that he could get payload up into outer space, and there's a dummy, Rocket Man, and they're playing David Bowie on a six, it only lasted 6 hours because the battery ran out. But Elon Musk spent $90 million on just that because he said it's his identity. Elton John, Paul Simon, they're both finishing their careers as maybe they should have finished them a long time ago. I don't know. We got some opinions up here, maybe? Okay. Yeah, gonna forget that one, right? So Elton John, he's doing two big shows. When he sold his one out in Chicago, he immediately got another one on the docket because, right? And then Paul Simon, we had a conversation in our worship time this week. Paul Simon apparently said, yeah, I'm done, but I might come back a few times. You know it's going to be hard for these. It's hard to give it up, isn't it? Yeah, look, we got a lot of heads bobbing up there. You guys have identity in music, don't you? Sure you do. Sure you do. And I don't know if you're in touch with the nationwide commercials where Peyton Manning is writing songs. And he always writes songs about this ex-quarterback who won the Super Bowl long ago. And it's kind of a funny, so if you see one of those, you'll get my focus on this identity. What is it about us that we search? And you know, it could be something you wear, something you follow, something that you believe in as a human being here on this earth, and you give time and energy over and over again. We have our own identities. So this past Wednesday, if you were here with us, you received a cross of ash on your forehead. We began 40 days of an adventure to the cross of Jesus Christ, known as Lent, an ancient tradition to get people like you and me to wake up that maybe the people that we were isn't the people we're supposed to be. So I want to put you through a little roll. You know, there are so many places for you to find identity. Have you ever done Strength Finders? Like, this is one, you know, 2.0, and this is, Living Your Strengths, another book. I have probably, like, 7 or 8 of these books on my shelf. Life Keys was one that I really enjoyed going through. It helps you to get into your core values and your purpose statement and who you are. So pull out that purple card, if you will. And if you just want to think along with me, I'm not going to force you to do this. We're not handing this in as homework, but turn to the side that it says, who are you? And if you have a pen, you can do some work. I am to please. Who are you? Go through those moments real fast. And, you know, I'm going to ask for a little background music while we do this here. And just go through and just jot down some notes. 3 things you do well. 3 things that describe you. And 3 things you want to do in your life. And if it's just one in each category, if you just want to think through it, that's okay. But just a little assessment of your identity today. So you can work on that over the course of the rest of the day. This is just to really kind of trigger your brain. I know you're sitting in church, And what happens when we're sitting in church, the things that are on that list tend to go back to church. But I wonder if, like in the middle of the week this week, someone asked you who was not a church kind of related person, if you were at work or at school or even at home talking with your spouse or your kids, whether it would really be Christ-centered. And my guess is if you're like me, those things that you write down are the things you know about yourself, the things that you identify with in yourself. The premise of all of this is that I do believe we live two compartmentalized lives way too often. That we have a world identity, a 9-to-5 kind of Monday through Friday, Saturday identity, and we have, when we come before Jesus, a Jesus identity. And I fear for most of us that there might be some overlap, some small bandwidth, but I don't think it's very big. Because I think the things that drive us to think politically, we'll throw that one out there, things that drive us to make more money in the business world, that drive us to want to get all A's, what is it about our culture that drives you got to get as many AP courses under your belt and A's, but like what's inside that human being? You know, when Jesus called the first followers, if you go back to the revolution wheel, and he said, follow me, he didn't put them through a Myers-Briggs assessment. He didn't. Now, you could say, well, God must have known their hearts. I agree. But they were the most motley band of human beings possible, many of them living on the fringe of life, not in the total circle of sanctity. And I think sometimes we think that our identity in Christ is something maybe unachievable. So I'd like to share with you some scripture and take the rest of our time to think about identity in Christ. And if you flip over that page, you're going to see my identity. And this is for you to just jot down anything that might reach your brain today, your heart. Here's the goal, and I'll lay it out there before you. If you could leave here today with both sides of those cards being in harmony with each other, that maybe you flip back to the things that you're good at and those things that describe you and things that you want to do and maybe cross off the things that you have on there and start to put some new ones in there because it reflects more what we're going to learn about our identity in Christ, then we've succeeded today in worship to be the people that Jesus calls to follow him, to be more like him. And that's the journey that we're going on these 40 days to the cross of Christ. We take ash, from ash we were created, to ash we will return. I think we forget that. We weren't created in some huge cosmetic studio of Elon Musk's kind of doing. We were created out of dust. Earth. And God breathed into us his breath. And from there, he allows us to live this life. And he asks us along the journey if we might become more like him along this journey. That would be the most phenomenal gift back not only to each other, we're told in the great commandment, but back to God. But those things don't add up. So listen to this from Romans 14, 7 through 13. It says, for we don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, it's to honor the Lord. And if we die, it's to honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Christ died and rose again for this very purpose, to be Lord both of the living and of the dead. So why do you condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we all stand before the judgment seat of God. For the scriptures say this, "As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bend to me, and every tongue will declare allegiance to God." Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. So let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. I see identity in that. Or 2 Corinthians 5, 14 through 21. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. Maybe that's what's on that front page, our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. All of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. And God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, "Come back to God." For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. If there isn't a new creation, an identity in that. So one of the things that we're focusing on today comes in three of the Gospels, and it is the temptation of Jesus by Satan in the wilderness. And if you listen to Pastor PJ speak a little earlier, Pastor Glenn over in the worship center, you will know that they focused a little bit on this moment. And what happens when Jesus is out there with Satan, it's right after his baptism. So his baptism comes to us as a claiming moment. Think about it this way. Jesus becomes one of us. Why did God send Jesus to this earth? Not just so it can be a moment in time, but so that he could become flesh and be one of us. I think sometimes we separate ourselves from that moment too much. We see the deity of Christ, which is what we should do, but we also forget that Jesus came to this earth and it matters. 1 John 3:1 says, "He comes so that we might be called children of God." Isn't that sweet? Identity. Did you maybe, you know, flip over the page? Did you write child of God on any of those? And if you did, well done. You're sitting in church. Obviously, that's where your thought's going to go. But I challenge you, will you say that after a long, hard, tedious day on Wednesday where you maybe didn't make your quota or maybe your grade didn't come in the way it may? Will you be able to say, "I'm a child of God"? Probably not. At least if you enter into my life, you're probably going to, I'm going to just reveal to you, is not often that at the end of the day, I'm like, "Oh, the day was the wrecked day. It was horrible. I had so many arguments with people. And you know, the stock market went in the tank. And you know, I lost a lot of money." Hey, I'm a child of God. That's all that matters. But it does matter. Hey, you can claim that even when times get tough. Then you have a new identity. 2 Corinthians 6:18 says that we would be called his sons and daughters. Isn't that a sweet gift to us from our Father in heaven? That we're going to be sons and daughters. So God comes He becomes one of us. So he's tempted in the wilderness. And one of the things, if you read about it in Matthew 4, 1 to 11, you'll see that Satan tries to take the Son of God down, and he doesn't succeed. And so you'll see him offer him stuff, power, pleasure, control. And in all of the questions that Satan asks, he says, be all that you can be human. Take this moment. You have the ability to be better and bigger than God yourself. And Jesus says, get behind me. He walks out of the wilderness having been tempted for our sake, so that a new identity can come. And finally, he knows us. He knows our condition. Romans 5:8, while we were still sinful, Christ died for us. You could make a case that it's really difficult for any of us in this room to have a true identity in Jesus Christ because we're sinners. We fall short of the glory of God. And if you say that, you're stuck without the gift of the cross of Christ, that we're marching to during this Lent season. That's what it's all about. We have these fragile, frail identities. Our identities are more into what we can do on this earth, like send a Tesla up into space, because it just says, I'm a good, great person. I don't know if that's going to go down in history as the most important thing for any person when they come to see Jesus one day. Or celebrating a World Series or a Super Bowl. Or even going back in our ancestry and saying, I have the greatest lineage possible. All of it doesn't matter. We are fragile creatures. And while we're fragile, while we're tempted, while we're trying to find identity, God says, I've come to you already. I've identified you. You're my children. I've come to you already. I've resisted temptation on your behalf. I've come to you already. I've conquered sin and death so that you might live forever. And that's where identity is. That's who we are. And if we could leave this place today, struggling through all the things we know we will struggle through, thinking of ourselves as redeemed, that's a quality that I want to know as a follower of Jesus. My identity is in redemption, salvation. My identity is in this ever-present battle that I'm a saint and a sinner at the same time. Have you ever heard that one? While you're still sinful, Christ dies for you. He doesn't leave you in the gutter. He doesn't kick you to the side. He says, no, you are royalty. You're my children. And what do? You take that royalty and you go out and you sin again. At least I do. And we need God to just bring us that new, fresh wind of identity. We're children of God. We get to be examples of the fruit of the Spirit that comes from Galatians. You want to know how to have an identity in Jesus? Claim these: love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, the fruits of the Spirit. Come with humble spirit, servant hearts. That's what it means to have an identity in Christ. Be kingdom focused. Multiply. Go out and find a person who doesn't know who Jesus is and welcome them along for the journey. And if you do that, then you are having an identity just like Jesus. Be a person who accepts, yet knows your root definition. Sometimes we lead with the root definition. We say, you shouldn't do that. God wouldn't like you to do that, instead of leading with the loving, accepting heart. That's how Jesus led. There was not a human being on the face of this earth, when you read the four Gospels, that you can find that Jesus kicked to the side of the road. When there were people on the fringe, he welcomed them in. What did he do when he welcomed them in? Helped them to understand how to live life fully. But he didn't say you have to live life fully first, then I'll welcome you. And I think when we think of our own identity, we put ourselves first instead of God first. So the challenge for any one of us today is to find ourselves centered in Christ Jesus. I know it sounds so pie in the sky, so whimsical. But you know this truth, that if every one of us lived life like Jesus lived life, there would be no mass shootings. But we know that there's sin and it rages its ugly head, and we need to be light in the midst of darkness. We need to bring hope and change and progress on behalf of Jesus Christ. So when you think where you stand on any of the major issues of this world, and we could list after list after list those major issues, come back to ask yourself, where is my identity in my opinion? And if your identity roots anywhere except in Christ Jesus, then think again. Go back to the drawing board. Be pushed, molded, and shaped by the refiner's fire. What does the refiner's fire do to us? Scripture says it molds us and shapes us into the best. All of the impurities go away and the purity comes. We have this word, it tells us in Scripture, in vessels that are kind of like broken vessels, broken clay. But the cool image of the Old Testament is he's the potter and we're the clay. And if you really want to find your true identity, let God mold and shape you. That's hard to do because you have the things you know you do well. You have the idea of where you make the most money and where you're most influential. And you don't want to give that up because it's hard to give those things up. But our God says, if you find your identity in me, all of those things begin to lose their luster. Because it's not going to matter who's on first or second or third when we get to God's kingdom. It's not going to matter who wins a World Series or a Super Bowl. It's not going to matter how much money any of us have in the bank. It's not going to matter how powerful we were or what we led, if we didn't do it on behalf of Jesus Christ. So I would encourage you to wrestle during this week over your identity as you seek to be more like Jesus. Now, one of the things we're going to do over the course of this series is we're going to look at how we can be more like Jesus with these focal points: identity. Next week, we're going to look at struggle, how it is a struggle to be more like Jesus. Then we're going to listen to his voice. We're going to find the light, and we are going to seek total control, not from our perspective, but from God's perspective through us. I hope you come along on this journey. It will lead you to the cross of Christ in a new way, I truly believe it, as you seek to be more like Jesus. As we come, we have a response song before the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings to just think about how we live these two separate lives, our identity in this world and our identity in Christ. May they be one. And may God truly lead us, direct and guide not only our hearts, but our minds in Christ Jesus.